For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Sunday evening service of July the 3rd, 1994. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack and Carol Canada are the speakers for this evening.
Can y'all hear me out there? All right. I tell you, a woman of mine is a preacher. Turn me down some here, brother. There you go. I've heard a lot of women preachers, and I've seen a lot of them on TV and travel and so on and so forth, and she's as good as I've heard. I mean, there's some that's just as good, but not too many I know of, because I live with her. I know her. I know her heart. I know her life. I know where she's coming from. I know her commitment. I know the woman. Trust me. And she's as good as they come. And she has anointing in that area. If you knew where she came from, you'd be very surprised to see her where she's at today, because she was so fearful and so timid and shy. And now she'll pray hoes through heaven. Amen. Those that know her know it. Praise God. I want to talk to you tonight about some things I think the Lord's been stirring in my heart. I don't know, since I came into campgrounds, this one particular message that's coming to my spirit, and it's like a song. You know, I get a song, and until I sing it, the Lord won't give me another song. You know, you do what I told you to do, then how many know we have to learn to obey Him sometimes? You know, we want to get real theological with Him and start discussing His Word when He tries to tell us to do something. And all of a sudden, theology becomes an excuse for obedience. See, we won't excuse it away. And God said, just do it. See, Nike wasn't the first one to say that. And God's been saying, just do it for a long time. We just ain't got a hold of it yet. Y'all can say amen. I know you're out there. I hear you breathing. You're breathing. Where's my water gun at? I had a water gun I used to carry. Sometimes just squirt pokes with it. And big ones that I can part hair 50 yards. So I want to talk to you tonight about shame and the effects of shame and what all it has. I believe that's one of the strongholds the enemy uses to hold his people down and across this nation. I've seen it time and time again. It's increasing in the world as things get worse. And I want to try to go through some things tonight that will kind of highlight some of the symptoms of it and how it gets there and how it affects your life and how it can stifle you in your relationship and your growth. And so I want to hit a couple of areas. How many of you ever heard of Jonathan Winters before? Have you heard of Jonathan Winters, the comedian? He's been around for a few years. And He was on a talk show not too long ago talking about divorce and his family and how it affected his life as a young boy. It says here, the comedian Jonathan Winters verified the fact of shame when he appeared on the guest of a television interview program. It might have been like a Johnny Carson, something like this. I'm not sure what program it was. The host asked Mr. Winters to describe his early childhood, and he became unusually serious as he spoke. He described his the disintegration of the family when Jonathan was 7 years old and how deeply he was hurt by his parents' divorce. He said the other children would tease and laugh at him because he didn't have a father. And he reacted with anger. He would fight with his tormentors and shake his fist in their faces. But when they were not looking, he would go behind the tree or behind a building and he would cry. He described his the disintegration of the family when Jonathan was 7 years old and how deeply he was hurt by his parents' divorce. He said the other children would tease and laugh at him because he didn't have a father. And he reacted with anger. He would fight with his tormentors and shake his fist in their faces. But when they were not looking, he would go behind the tree or behind a building and he would cry. Mr. Winters indicated that he later learned to laugh his way out of trouble, but admitted that all of his adult humor is a response to his childhood sorrow. Shame goes deep. Webster defines shame like this. It says, dishonor or disgrace or a feeling of unworthiness. It will cloak you, it hides you, and it conceals you. I'm talking spiritually. It can cause you to be overlooked for promotion or feel not valued. If you ever walk into a room, you just feel like everyone just doesn't want you to be there. See? You're like you're the third wheel. You're out of place. You're the guy or the girl that's in the wrong place at the wrong time. And the inferiority and timidity starts hitting you. Shame works like a grindstone. It gnaws, eating away and destroying the victim from the inside out by eroding your strength and your confidence. Slowly, all shame and self-respect is destroyed. That's the purpose of shame, is to destroy your respect, to destroy your position in Christ that he died to give you. He'll lie to you, and he'll use a lot of varieties of ways to keep you down. Shame will disable and hinder effective service for the Lord. No one can move mightily in the Holy Spirit until this area of their life has been dealt with. Shame has to be dealt with. A biblical foundation, the Word of God lists shame over 150 times in Scriptures. 150 times. It's usually coupled with something. It's coupled like with defeat, reproach, nakedness, folly, contempt, which means worthless, poverty, cruelty, or nothingness. Sin is the primary source. Say it. Sin is the primary source for all shame. Okay, scripture, the first of these is nakedness, having dualistic meanings physically and spiritually. Genesis 2:25 records Adam and Eve's situation. The man and his wife were both naked, and they were not ashamed, but after their sin, they were ashamed in their nakedness in the presence of God. They became shameful. That was on the first. Psalms 25 records David. He said, "O my God, in thee I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let none that wait for thee be put to shame." This plea is often repeated by the psalmists and prophets throughout Scriptures. It's a constant reminder there of the worst thing that a Hebrew could wish upon his enemies was that they be put to shame. That was the ultimate disgrace or act of cursing was to cast shame upon their enemies. It was often invoked, sometimes coupled with another curse, perhaps like shame, dishonor, shame and confusion, put to shame and consumed. Shame was always coupled with something else. In the New Testament, shame is avoided. Joseph avoided putting Mary to shame by not marrying her, see? He took the shame off of her by staying with her, see? And so I'm going to show later on how we have the power to lift shame off of people also. Not only off of ourselves, but off of our loved ones and people that we care for in the body of Christ. Paul taught that the worldly wise and strong were put to shame by God's choice of the weak and foolish. 1 Corinthians 1:27. Proverbs, you can write these scriptures down because I'm going to be going through a few of them tonight. But Proverbs 3:35 says, "Foolish living and unwise action will bring shame upon you and your family." Say it. Foolish living and unwise actions will bring shame upon you and your family. Ask Achan about that. Remember the story about Achan? The sin of one father destroyed his whole family. See? Proverbs 10:5. "He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame." Sleeping during time of harvest, spiritual or physical, causes shame. How many know that spiritually and physically? See? The lazy, slothful, and idle time wasters open wide doors for shame to enter and work his mischief. See, it's like the guy went to the doctor. This guy went to the doctor to get a physical. He gave him all his symptoms and all his, things he thought was wrong with him. And the guy checked him out and got all the results back. And he looked at the guy and says, "What you have here is ergophobia." And he looked at the doctor and said, "Doc, tell it to me straight. I'm a grown man. Just give it to me. Give me the facts. Just tell it to me straight. Tell me exactly what's wrong with me. Just come on, tell me. Don't hit around. What's wrong with me?" He said, "Doc," he said, "can you give me that long word again? I got to go home and tell my wife." See? Sometimes we want to, we want to get a skirt around things, but, how many times God ever spoke to your heart in some areas and said, "You're lazy here. Hello? You're slothful. That brings shame and disgrace on you." And so God wants his people delivered from that. Amen? Proverbs 11:2, "When pride cometh," here we go. "When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom." There are many verses on pride in Scriptures. It humiliates as God brings the proud one to naught. Being humble and being put into a proper place can be very embarrassing at times. Amen? You ever been that place before where God just put you in your place? My wife and I was at a, we used to do a lot of counseling a couple years ago. We counseled for about 4.5 months. We counseled 650 people. And it was pretty intense. And that's like an hour of peace. We just got burned out. Well, one of those sessions we got through one night, and we went over to a Coco's, like a little a restaurant in Phoenix, and was getting something to eat. And I'm sitting down there, and I looked over, and we got through eating. I got to walking out. I started walking out toward the door. My wife was kind of following behind, talking to this other couple. And I looked over, and I saw this guy and his wife and his two little kids. I said, I know those people, you know. I just know that I know them, you know. And he's a big shot. You know, I'm all over Phoenix, and you know, I think everybody should know me because I go to so many different churches and everything. And so, you know, I see a lot of people that if you don't see them in the surroundings you're used to seeing with, you don't know where you know them from. You get so many, you know what I'm talking about. And if you see them in that church, you recognize them definitely in that church, but you get them in the supermarket, where do I know them from, you know? And so that was the situation there. You know, I knew that I knew these folks, but I didn't know who they were for sure. So I walked over to them, and Mr. Know Everybody, he says, you know, hey, bro. I said, brother, my name is Jack Canada. I'm sure glad to see you here tonight. I know you. I've seen you before, so I just want to take time to say hello to you and you and your family. He wiped his mouth. He says, oh, so yeah, so I'm Mayor Paul Johnson. See? He was the Phoenix mayor at the time, and I said, I knew I'd seen that face somewhere, you know, blasted on television everywhere. So my wife's were hiding behind a pole somewhere, and I'm just kind of turning all shades of red, walking off the place. So God knows how to put his people in their place from time to time, amen? Preachers, too. I tell you what, he can do. We was at a Morris Rose crusade one time about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe 5 or 6 years ago in California. And I decided not to take my guitar with me. I said, I'm not going to take my guitar. I'm just going to go and just enjoy things. They had some speakers I wanted to hear. And I was there, and so I had about 2 days of this. And I was having withdrawals. I had to have a guitar. And I just got to find me a guitar to play. And so we was on the elevator. We come off the elevator, and it was at the Hilton Hotel in Anaheim. And I come off the elevator, and this guy, kind of like a Maranatha type singer, he's laying back on his a little seat in the lobby area, big open place, you know. And most of the people at the conference were at the hotel. And so I saw this guy. I didn't even hardly ask. I took a guitar out of his hand. I said, can I use this for a second? He said, well, yeah. And so I said, and I started playing. They shall lift up their voice. They shall sing for joy. I started singing. This gal I was with, she Holy Ghost in here, and she got to dancing in the spirit. And I felt like Chuck Berry. I was pushing her back with my guitar, trying to get her back. And I looked around, and Carol, she's hiding behind a pillar again. There she is. There he goes. He's gone again. So God has a way of sometimes getting us lined up when we don't want to get us lined up. And people kind of looked at me like I was a little crazy, but I just had to do what I had to do, you know, sometimes. Amen. Proverbs 13:5 says, the righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man acts disgustingly and comes to shame. Lying brings shame. How many know that? And so lying also brings shame, to rob us of strength and destroy us from the inside out. It will rob your strength. Lying will rob your strength. You know, people, you know, I was raised in a situation where I was coaching Little League at one time with my son, and we had finished practice, and I was taking him home. And we got on the way home, this one kid, I said, where do you live at, Tommy? He said, I'll just drop him off down this corner here. It'll be okay. So I took somebody home, and I said, now, where do you live at, Tommy? He said, I'll just drop him off down this other corner. I'll be okay. And I said, no. So I took the other guy home, and I took three boys home, and he was the last one. I said, now, where do you live at? He said, just drop him off at the corner here. And I went through that as a young boy. See, I knew where he was coming from. I looked at him. I said, Tommy, I want to tell you something, son. I said, I don't care where you live. I don't care what your dad does or doesn't do. I don't care what your mama does or doesn't do. I don't care what they are. I don't care what kind of house you live in. I just want you to know I love you, and I'm on your side. I want to help you, and I appreciate you for who you are. And he started crying. I started crying. And that day I licked the shame off that young man. And I let him off. I didn't know what I was doing then. I do now. I left them at home, and that boy, he excelled. That kid so excelled in baseball. I don't know where he's at now, but I know that year he had a time. And so we have the ability to take it off of people. It has a tendency to shut folks down. We can take it off. How many know that? Yes. Proverbs 13:18, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuses instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. So refusing instruction, rebellious attitude, will cause shame upon you and your family. Here, poverty is coupled with rebellion, refusal of direction, and stubbornness. Many times, shame is coupled with poverty and dishonor. Analyze your own reaction to instruction by someone in authority. Are you one of those know-it-alls who refuses any guidance or instruction? Are you reaction wearing away your strength? How many of you ever had the know-it-all attitudes before you had to deal with? Hello? Preachers? Come on, preachers. I know you're out there. I've had to deal with that myself. Proverbs 18:13, he that answers a matter, here's one. He that answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. See? Don't give people time to talk. I had an old saint come up to me one time, and I started to tell him something. I said, brother, have you ever heard this before? He said, yeah, I think I have, but tell it to him again in case I miss something. And that's wisdom. Tell it to him again. That's his way of saying, I got time for you. I got time for you. So shame can be in the attitude in the matter of answering before you hear it. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. Parents who allow children to rear themselves and refuse to fulfill their responsibility as father or mother will have offspring who will bring great shame to them. There used to be an old saying that you make your children cry when they're young, or they're going to make you cry when you're old. Hello?
Yeah.
You make them cry when they're young, or they're going to make you cry when you're old. My son at 7 years old, I didn't get him until he was 7 years old, and when I got him, he was a liar. That's all there was to it. Long story how that came to that place. There's tapes to tell you all about it back there, but he was a liar when I got him. I said, we got to do something about this. So I told him, I said, well, from here on out, how many have heard of Yellow Front store? Is there like a little hardware store, you know, like a hardware store? And so I said, son, come on, we're going to the store. So we went down to the store, and I bought a half-inch dowel rod about yay long and some leather rawhide straps. He said, Dad, what are you going to do? I said, come on, I'll show you. So we went home and got home, and I sawed it off, and he sanded it down for me. And he said, Dad, what is that? I said, hang on, Jeff, hang on a second. And so got the drill out, and he drilled a hole in it, you know, and put the rawhide in it, and he's just polished it up nice. He said, what is that? I said, come here, son. He came over, and I bent him over my knee, and about four or five times, and he's about ready to die. I said, that's for lying. I said, you don't lie in this household. And from now on, if you ever lie again, it's an automatic whipping, no questions asked. And see, that's the reason for that, is that number one is that God said, use a rod, and I use a rod. See, the hand's for loving. Every time I use the rod, I'd always take him and I'd hug him. I said, now, son, I love you. This has nothing to do with my attitude towards you, the way I feel towards you. It's just a time that you've made an error, and I got to discipline this area, and that's where it's at. I hooked him with a stick probably, three or four times the first 3 weeks, about three or four times the next 4 months, then about once every for 6 months, then I didn't have to touch it forever. Last time I spanked him was he's in the 8th grade. He's 6 foot then. And we had moved somewhere, and he lied again. Automatic whipping. And we had just got through moving our furniture, and I couldn't find the stick. It got misplaced. You know? It's amazing how it gets misplaced, but it got misplaced. And so we had these, you ever seen those mirrors? Those one by twos that hold a mirror up in the back of the dressers, you know? You guys, you know what I'm talking about? Had two of them laying on the side of the wall. So I was grabbing one of them bad boys. They're about this long, you know, about 3-4 foot. He goes, hey! I said, bend over, got him ankle, son. It's whooping time. He said, no. I said, come on. I mean, no, I'm not going to hurt you. How many guys got swats when you was growing up? How many got their tail whooped a couple times? Come on. Yeah, you ain't in jail somewhere, are you? Or going to try and kill somebody? Or, you know, it didn't hurt me. It didn't hurt the time. But, hey, it's the best thing for us. It releases the guilt. It takes care of you're being punished. And so I gave him the old four iron, boom. There it was, man. He come off the ground. He hollered for a little bit, but it was over with. That was the last I ever had to whoop him. Of course, he left home when he was 17 for 3 years, but, you know, no. That wasn't the reason why I asked him when he come back. Even we talk about it today. He said, Dad, the discipline I received at home was the right discipline. The reason he left was other reasons. He wanted to try the world out for himself and see what was out there. And he had sowed some oats. And he went that route, and that's where he went. He's back home. He's married now. He lives in North Carolina. And he's doing wonderful. We got a wonderful relationship. And so But God says we're to take this number of children. Amen? And there's going to be some shame upon us if we don't deal with those areas. And some of you guys have already received shame because of that. Okay? And God wants to release you from that too. He's the God that forgives. Amen? He's the God that wants to cleanse us from all these things. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Proverbs 12:4 says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness to his bones. Here, rottenness is in a man's bones is connected with shame caused by a wicked wife. This can be rooted in her rebellion, lack of virtue, or adultery. These will combine to bring her husband to shame. Hello? Get kind of quiet there, didn't it? You know, it seemed like we used to do a lot of counseling, I was telling you, and I had a new system on counseling we use now. When people come to our house, sit down for counseling, we don't do a lot of it anymore, but when they do, I set them down, give them a glass of water, treat them real nice, and say, okay, now what part of God's word don't you want to obey? That's really it. You know, what part of God, I don't hear all your stories about how bad he is or how bad she is, and da-da-da, you know, his war goes on back and forth, and I said, what part of God's word don't you want to obey? That's really where it's at. That kind of cuts through all of it, you know. I believe that the counseling, my personal view, I believe counseling is pretty much going to be phasing out pretty soon because God wants us back on our altars and on our knees, seeking his face like we're supposed to begin with. Hello? We're trying to sophisticate things, and God's saying, get with me. Get with me. He can do more in one snap of your fingers at the altars than 20,000 counseling sessions with anybody in the world. I'm telling you now. God touches your spirit and changes things in your life. It just gets done. Someone say amen?
Amen.
I'm telling you, that stuff's getting to where it's going to be out of hand, you know. And I'll tell you why it's going to happen. See, the world's stepping in here and saying, okay, if you guys want to counsel, here's what you got to do. See, and if you want to keep your license, you got to come this route. If you want to keep your license, and what's going to happen? You compromise and compromise and compromise. Next thing you know, they got you. See, what's happened in church today is that we've compromised and call it balance. See? Oh, we're balanced over here, brother. No, you ain't. You compromised. Hello?
Yeah.
And so the word says a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. It didn't say an unbalance. It said a false balance. It's a false balance. Compromise is a false balance. So at any rate, that can cause you a problem, girls. And Tamar, David's daughter, Ammon's sister, carried a load of shame, which resulted from Ammon having sex with her. That was incest. Incest brings shame. Rape brings shame. Incest, adultery, molestation, divorce, all open the doors for the attack of shame. Even though sometimes the terrible incidents are forgotten or brought about, the abrasive shame remains and must be fully faced and dealt with. It's got to be dealt with. You can't hide it somewhere. It's got to be dealt with. And how do you know? Because you see the symptoms. Those with eyes full of adultery for them, shame themselves. You know, guys and women look lustfully with their eye gaze. They bring shame upon yourself. You enjoy sin for a season, but you leave him or her weak and unable to cope. Shame and nakedness are together, accompanied by fear. Talking about fear this afternoon, Brother Frank did not deal with fear, but look at this news a second. Does something in you talk about a type of fear? Here's a type of fear. Does something in your life frighten you? Something you fear might be discovered? Because Adam was ashamed, he feared and hid himself. Do you avoid certain issues because you are uncomfortable and fear disclosure? Hello? See, a lot of people go try and hide, and God's trying to get things surfaced so they can deal with it. See what I'm saying? See, God doesn't, his design is not to put you to shame. His design is not to embarrass you. His design is not to insult you. His design is to heal you. His design is to set you free. His design is to deliver you. See, and he'll bring you to a place. See, he always said this before. God will always bring you the easiest way that you'll come. He'll always bring you the easiest way that you'll come. That's with me or anybody else. He wants us to come the easiest way. But a lot of time we choose, because of deception and areas in our life of fear, that we try to go the harder route. See, God had a plan for our family. Through my stubbornness and my rebellion and my heart, he came and took our son out of our home, and out it went. And there we were. full of shame. We'll get to that in a minute. He had a better plan, if I'd have just listened. He has a better plan. Say it. God has a better plan. He does. He has a better plan. Praise God. 3:24, for shame hath devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth. Do you ever wonder why you're failing to get ahead financially? This often traces back to the sins of the fathers. It might be a family line curse which produced the inheritance of shame. So a lot of you guys could be suffering financial difficulty because of shame in your bloodline. Men that's full of shame sometimes react this way. They're fearful of being around men. They prefer the company of children and women. In the presence of men, they become intimidated, and fears make them unsure of themselves. Shame is the root, usually, of that type of an attitude. My father left my home when I was 2 years old. I never saw my dad. Never laid his eyes on him. I was raised by a stepfather who was an alcoholic. He abused our family. He abused us. I know what it's like to go with ketchup sandwiches for supper. And if you have salmon patties and 30-weight gravy for Friday, you're really doing good. I know what it's like to walk to school with cardboard in your shoes to keep the water out. I know what it's like to not have a coat and tell the schoolmates that I'm just not cold and you're almost frostbit. I know what it's like to have a drunken stepfather that the whole school talks about. I know what it's like when you have a stepfather that sexually molested your family and the shame that it carries. I went through a divorce in my early years. Some of you might have a problem with that. I'm sorry, but that's just the way my life was then. It was a short time. Shame that brought on there. My son left when he was 17. My idol, my pride, my joy. Woke up and he was gone. The shame of that. The root of it was basically this. I didn't have a father. I grew up very angry. I grew up insecure, full of timidities and fears. A lot of people that same route without having a father to protect. See, the father is a protector. He's the one that's supposed to protect. And a lot of men get lost in their business. They become overachievers. They try to compensate for that void in our lives. And God said this to me one day. I'll be a father to the fatherless. Yeah. And what he's saying, he said, I'll be a father to the orphan. He said, I'll be a father to the fatherless. You can have a man at home and still not be fathered. Right. And fathering is a spirit that God imparts to you. I know some wonderful men that don't have any children that are wonderful fathers. I know pastors that are father their flock. If I could see a thing today that the church needs today more than anything in the world is fathering. Amen. They really got to get back to fathering, because I believe that fathering is the base. I think it has priority giftings and everything else that's associated with, especially the full gospel move. Because without that foundation, there's not a purity of disbursements of the gifts. I've seen men minister and preach, and they have an edge on them. You ever hear that? See, some preachers you hear, they say good words, and they're saying the right things, and God blesses. But his little edge on her, I said, God, what is that? And I said, well, I get them by myself and I talk to them, and they were no father. They're angry. There's a subtle angerness. And God wants to release those from people from that. Shame carries a tremendous weight on people's lives. The precious women that are molested day in and day out. Can't talk to nobody about it. Makes you want to go out to the desert somewhere and get a big old jackrabbit and big old long ears and confess every sin you can think of and then pull a gun out and shoot him. Somebody could listen to you. Wouldn't talk and tell the world about it. It's a shame that children, they're molested, these young boys and girls, because of the perversion in their home. The shame it brings. I've talked to hundreds of them. In the church, by the way. Deliverance is wonderful. I'm for it. But it has to be a healing here too. God come to heal. He come to restore his people. Amen. Listening to me tonight?
You long for the Father. You long for a Father you never had. You know, it was a Father that will protect you. A Father that will stand with you day and night. You can tell all you want to tell to Him. Unload yourself on Him. And when the dust clears, He's still there. Say, come on, son. Let's talk. Let me talk to you. Let me protect you. Let me guide you. Let me be that one. Would you stand for me, please? I'm not speaking to anybody tonight. You feel like you're cloaked. And you walk around in a little bubble and you talk to people and they don't hear a word you're saying. Like you're not even there. Perhaps you had molestation in your life somewhere along the way. Perhaps there's some inherited things there you need to deal with. If you feel like you have some shame on you, I want you to raise your hand right where you're at. Can you do that? If you're dealing with some shame perhaps in your lives. Amen. Amen. I have a friend of mine in Phoenix. He's my age. He listened to our new tape and one of the songs that Carol sings called Daddy's Hands. It talks about her father. Daddy's hands is hard as steel, but they're also gentle. He broke down our living room and started crying. I gave him one of the demo tapes. He took it to work. And he's in construction, owns his business. And he began to listen to the tape, and he drove all over town listening. That fathering tape we got back there, I found out some things about it when I put it together. I put it together for the families to heal and minister to them. But what it's done to a lot of people, it stirred up things. It stirred up some fathering things that they didn't have. And I tell you what, folks, if you stick it out and listen to it and let it heal you, it will. Because that's what God came to do, is to heal those hurts. See, abandonment is a strong word in shame. I was abandoned as 2-year-old. A lot of people tonight have been abandoned. A lot of you have been emotionally abandoned. You have people there, but they just ignored you. They become workaholics. They didn't want to face their responsibility or whatever it was. You were emotionally abandoned. Abandonment carries shame. My friend was driving to church one Sunday morning. And my wife had ministered on loyalty and wonderful job she did. And this guy's wife asked him this question. She said, honey, you've been unfaithful to me. Have you ever been unfaithful to me? And fear gripped him. Because, see, we know he had. But we talked about it. It had been years back, but he still had. Sure, he's confessed it to the Lord. He said, honey, why did you ask that question? And she looked over at him. She put his hand on his hand. She said, baby, it's okay. It's okay. That righteous woman lifted shame off that man that day. The power of words lift shame off of people. If you got some shame you want to deal with, why don't you come up here tonight? Make some room here. We want to pray for you. Someone help me this here. Just come on down the aisles. You want some release some shame? Yeah, put it up here. I'd like to pray for you. Thank you, brother. Would you come? I know there's a lot of people here this morning. God spoke this to me. I know He's here to do this. He wants to do this. There's something about lifting shame off of people and then asking the Father's blessing on them. We did it last night. But see, I looked all my life for somebody to affirm me. I looked it in my pastor for someone to affirm me. I didn't have a father to affirm me. I wanted someone to validate me and say, you have worth. You have worth. You're somebody. See? I looked all my life for that. People. I tell you, it was important to Jesus. Because when Jesus came out of the water, when He was being baptized, the Father says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. He told the whole world, this is my boy, and I'm proud of him. And that's what He wants to do to you people here. He wants you to know who you are. And that you're His beloved children. And He's proud of you. You back there, help us pray here, will you? You help us pray here. I want to appear just to close your eyes, okay? Just close your eyes. I want you to pray this way. Say, Father, I confess to you today all the shame of my bloodline. Release me from all the guilt of shame. I confess it to you. Release me from it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Carol, come up here, honey, will you? I want you back here to sing this chorus. Who can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Who can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is our flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Close your eyes a second up here. Why don't you look at your father right now in your mind's eye? See, I never saw my father. I didn't know what he looked like. I couldn't picture a face if I didn't had to. It's the most you can. Look at your dad right now. I want you to say these words. Say, Father, Dad, I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you for not being there. I forgive you for not protecting me. I forgive you. I release you in the hands of your Heavenly Father. Father God, forgive me for harboring and dishonoring my parents, my father. Bless my father. Receive in Jesus' name.
Let's just wait a minute. Let the Holy Spirit just keep your eyes closed and just let the Lord just flow. He's just doing some cleansing and he's rooting out some things. Let him do it. He's the only one that can. Jack can't and I can't. But the Lord can. So just open up. Let him do it. There's a real anointing here to bring deliverance and some healing. Yes, Lord. Father, I just ask that you lift off that cloak off of them. Lift off that cloak. I command it to lift off of them in the name of Jesus. I command shame to come off every one of them. I command it to leave them right now. We break that curse of shame upon every one of them in the name of Jesus. We command shame to come off. Shame is unworthiness, and we command it to leave every one of them. We command it to go. Lift your hands to the Lord, both hands. We command it all to lift off of them. All of it that's robbed them, that's hindered them, that's tormented them. We command it to be broken in the name of Jesus. We break the curse of shame and defeat the shame and discouragement, the shame and depression, the shame and bitterness. We break its power right now in the name of Jesus. Shame and fear, we command it to go in the name of Jesus. We command it to lift off of every one of them in Jesus' name. All unworthiness must go. You are a child of the King. Royal blood flows through your veins. You're something special in the kingdom of God. You're not just a nobody. You're something special. You're the apple of his eye. And the devil has told you that you're nobody. You're not worth a thing. But he's a liar and he's losing tonight. In the name of Jesus, we break that power right now. In Jesus' name, I command anger to go. I command the anger in some of these men and women to leave right now. And frustration in these men, Father, the frustration, God, of not even knowing what they want to do in life, God, of being unfulfilled. I command it to leave them in the name of Jesus. I command it to go. All anger and all frustration. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, just cleanse and purify. Just wash. Lord, we just ask that you remove every root of bitterness. All bitterness right now, that you take it out. Just people, take your hand and take it over your heart. We're going to pull out some roots of bitterness that's deep. Just begin to pull it out. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I pull out every root of bitterness, every root of anger, of unforgiveness, of bitterness. I don't want it anymore. I'm tired of living in the past. I want to be healed. I want to be free. I want to go on. I want to receive my inheritance. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
How many have been divorced before? How many are still out there? Some divorcees. Okay. Raise your hand. Keep them up. Father, right now, I ask you in Jesus' name to release them from the shame of divorce, Father God. All that it shames people with. And I ask you to release them from every ecclesiastical curse, Father God, that clergy has put on these precious people because of this difficulty in their life, Father. They were at a place where they didn't know what was going on. Perhaps they were pushing their back against the wall. Perhaps there was some abuse there beyond all measure, Father. But I ask you to release them from all ecclesiastical curses, from clergy, Father God, that scorn them and verbally abuse them. I release them right now in Jesus' name. I pull that cloak off of them. Oh, I pull that cloak off of them right now in Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name, I ask you to release them from that cloak of divorce, Father God, and the shame that goes with it. Release their children. Release their children's children in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I ask you to break that severed tie right now. From the past, Father God, release that soul tie, that unholy alliance that's there, Father God. I ask you in Jesus' name to break down that alliance, that soul tie that's there, Father. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Yes, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. There's some things lifting off now. Yes. Things lifting off. Let it go. Let it go off of you. Let it go off of you. Say world. Everybody say, say world.
World.
I forgive you.
I forgive everyone.
I forgive everyone. In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
That's how you win. You set your will to forgive. 7 times 70, that's how many times you forgive. Here's how that works. Someone wrongs you, you forgive them.
Yeah.
7 times 70, what happens? They wrong you again, you forgive them? No, that's not what I'm saying. They wrong you, you forgive them. You think about that wrong again, you forgive them. You think about it again, you forgive them. You think about it again, you forgive them. You set your will to forgive them. At about the 4th or 5th time the devil tries to bring it to your mind, you made your mind to forgive, it's gone. See, you set your will to forgive. That's what it means by 7 times 70. Every time you think of it, you forgive them. Every time a thought comes to your mind, I forgive them. Say, Lord, I've forgiven those folks. Amen? Someone say amen.
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 Yes, Lord. My sister right here, the Lord wants to release you from some grief and some guilt. Yeah, take this guilt off her right now, Father. Take it off of her right now, in Jesus' name. Just take this guilt off of her. Just let it go, honey. All this grief and guilt, Father, take it off of her. Take it off of her. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Father. She's always felt she never measured up, Father. That's a lie from the enemy. It's a lie from the enemy, Father. She's a worthy vessel. She's one of yours, Father. Yes, Father. Yes, Lord. Release my sister right now, Father. Release my sister right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Release her from all of it, Father. Oh, take it off of her. Yes, Lord. Take it off.
Now we're going to receive the blessings of the Lord. Amen? Lift your hands. Heavenly Father, we ask now that you bless these precious people. We pray, Father, the blessings of children of God. We pray, Lord, right now that you restore what Satan has robbed. Father, the worthiness of Christ would rest upon them, that they would begin to be valued, Father, in their home, in their community, in their workplace. Father, that they would begin to be valued for what they can contribute. Yes, Lord, we just bless them with value, with worth in Christ. We ask that you bless the works of their hands, Lord, that you began to get bless them, Father. Lord, I pray, God, that we just call in those blessings, Lord. We call, Father, those men that need promotion and women in their work that have been overlooked, God. I pray, Father, blessings of promotion at work, God. Blessings of promotion at work and wherever they are, Lord. I pray for the young people, God, that they would be blessed, Father, with their peers. That they would be favored, God, with their peers, Lord. That they would become a leader instead of a follower, Lord. They would become the head instead of the tail, God. Bless them, Father. We pray blessings, Father. We pray blessings upon your children. These are your children, God. They've been honest tonight, God. They've been honest with what they've felt and what they know, Father, has had power over them. Now we ask that all heaven back them up. Father, you restore families here, God. Restore children to their fathers and fathers to their children, Lord. Father, restore, God, relationships between moms and daughters, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Restore friendships with, Father, the body of Christ, Lord. Lord, even those who felt like they've been outside looking in and they've not found a church where they can fit in, God. I'm asking, Lord, that you bring them into the right church, God, that they can fit in, Father, and be a part of the body of Christ. Lord, that they can find their place in the body of Christ, Father, and grow and blossom where you plant them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, all of you. Thank the Lord now and praise him for what he's done. Amen. Praise him and give him thanks. Be grateful. Amen. Praise you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We praise you. We exalt you. We magnify you. We give you glory and honor, for you alone are worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. And Father, we ask that there be immediate fruit. Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.